Why do we need green lights on the traffic signals? Why do we need green lights? Are they in, do we actually, I mean, we don't call them go lights. We call them, what do we call them? Stoplights. We call them stoplights. I don't know. I'm in Ohio. Do you call them stoplights in California? No. You call them what?
Green light.
Green light. You call them green lights? No. And the traffic signals, I always call them stoplights. And you think about it, you take away the green light at the bottom, what difference does it make? I mean, you just, I mean, if there wasn't a traffic light, you'd just go anyway, right? It's like an automatic green. Why do we have those things? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think I need to turn to an outside expert, one that's not so close to the situation. In fact, an actual alien to explain why we have green lights. And John may have it queued up, the star man. He absolutely knows nothing about this. Okay, well, I'll just have to get out the sock puppets and act it out. Not a problem. In the star man quote, the star man comes and learns about humanity. And he's an alien. He's driving along. And you can look this up on YouTube. And he comes along and there's a yellow light. And he just floors it. Right through it. And he goes, I thought you knew what you were doing. You told me you watched me. They told me you knew how to drive by watching. He goes, oh, I watched you. I learned everything. Red light, stop. Green light, go. Yellow light, go very fast. That's not true. In case any of you are out there thinking, oh, that's what the preacher said. No, yellow means stop, actually. Especially if you're ever in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and there's yellow light, you can get a ticket for not stopping. Friends have told me this. So I mean, you know. But you're supposed to stop at yellows. What is the good of a green light, yellow light, red light? What are the good? We know this. Red is stop. Yellow is caution, warning, slow down, look out, maybe stop. You're in a danger zone. Green means go, but we go anyway. You know, there's people like that. Especially Christian people are like that, aren't there? There are red-light Christians. There are yellow-light Christians. There are green-light Christians. I believe there is so. And you know the red-light Christians. I think H.L. Mencken was thinking about these red-light Christians when he said that Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone, somewhere is happy. Red-light Christians. Now, we don't have to go. We don't have to go to current things. Christians are saying, stop, stop, stop. We can go all back. Christians are always being stopped. Christians try to stamp out. Those Puritans, they try to stamp out Christmas. Try not to let that happen. There was a fine if you didn't go to work on December 25th, or that if you were caught celebrating at all. In America, in New England, Christmas was banned as unchristian, pagan, terrible, awful thing. Stop! Stop it! Women wearing pants in church, I remember that. Oh, that was a huge, huge, eternal hellfire issue. Oh, my Jesus. Oh. You know, Jesus wore a dress, you know, and that was okay, but I don't know. Oh, yeah, Christians are always telling you, stop, stop, this has got to stop. I mean, now we're at, well, I think the holiday that we got our sights on is Halloween now. We're trying to stop that out. I'm not sure. Sooner or later, we're going to have a Halloween season in another couple of generations, and the church will be decoration in orange and black, and then it'll be okay. Stop doesn't always work, and I'm not sure that's the best witness in what Jesus wants us to do, to be stoplights. But if you listen to some people, they will tell you how you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. No dancing, no smoking, no gambling. Not in Nevada, never hear that in Nevada. But no, no, stop, stop. You know, that just doesn't work. Your red lights, I knew a little about red lights. When I was a volunteer firefighter, we sort of had a love-hate relationship with the red lights. We love them for other people, but we weren't too fond of them. You know, when you're driving a couple-ton truck full of water, as the truck driver said, you know, water just doesn't stop. It keeps going, you know, so you just can't slam on the brake, Christy. This isn't a car. Oh, they got after me. I had a remedial fire engine driving I had to go to. Anywho, we're out there, and the red lights, and I'm at the fire station, and after, you know when you start, I don't, am I the only one, when you start something, you don't ask every question right away. You kind of, do you do that? Do you say, well, I'll ask this one today and I'll ask that one tomorrow. And then, you know, you're sort of racing them out, you know. And after about a month, I asked him a question that had been bugging me since day one. Right on the inside of the old fire station, about this high up, very inconvenient, there was this old-timey light switch, the flip kind on a metal box light switch right there, but it was way up here. And it had this old yellow paper over it. And the paper in black marker was written, "Do not use." Why is that switch up there? Why is there a paper over it saying, "Do not use"? I wonder what the world. Well, after a while, I got up courage and asked one of the old timers. I said, hey, what's that switch up there? The one that says, has a paper over it saying, "Do not use." It goes, "Oh, that switch. That turns all the lights in town red." Maybe they ought to lock that up or something, but no. "Oh?" Yeah, he goes, "Yeah, we don't use that anymore. We used to." And then they had that right on red law. And now it doesn't stop traffic. So we don't use it anymore. Even turning every light in the town red doesn't stop people. Red lights don't always work. Don't work for long. Well, what about them yellow lights? You know, in that way, you know, we're kind of sort of, you know, saying no, but we're saying we're not going to be mean about the no. We're going to be kind of nice about the no. How about the yellow? Yellow light Christians. How about them folks? You know, those folks, you know, they're, you know, what's the biggest yellow light in our history, in our life? Well, I think it's the don't ask, don't tell. That one, that's kind of a yellow light. It's wrong, just don't talk about it. As long as you don't talk about it, it's okay, but not really. You know, it's kind of a, that didn't work real well. That did not work well. People were tortured, actually tortured, so that they would tell and get kicked out of the army without benefits, without any status at all. Doesn't really work. And you know, all the folks that say, not yet, too soon, you're in too much of a hurry, we got some time. You know, the oppressed people, the people that are suffering, the people that are on the thumb, they never say that. They never say, "Oh, it's too soon. Yeah, I can wait another lifetime, another generation, another decade." The yellow lights. Whoa, wait. Don't do that yet. It's too much, you know. And then the whole slippery slope thing where they said, if we allow this, well, then this will happen, then this will happen, this terrible thing would happen. You don't want this terrible thing, do you? Well, then you're against this reasonable request. Yeah. You know the slippery start now? You know what that one is now? They're going to check your birth certificate before you go in the restroom. And you thought you were mad at TSA at the airport. You know, what about now? You go, "Please allow an extra hour before going to the restroom so we can check your birth certificate so there'll be a line." Who has that job? Is that a big problem? They said, "Well, you know, it's to keep the women safe." Well, no women ever said that, I don't think. Women are not safe anywhere. I'm sorry to break it to you. It's not a bunch of assaults in a public restroom that's a problem. Safety for women is everywhere. It's even in their own homes. I am totally for safety of women. I am totally for safety of everyone. I don't care what gender you are, assigned, could be, was, well, what's on your thing. I am for your safety, and this is not a safety for everyone. I say safety for everyone, everywhere, all the time, not just in one little restroom for one gender. That's ridiculous. But that's yellow lights, isn't it? The slippery slope that says, "Oh, if we allow this, then terrible things will happen. Women will be assaulted everywhere." Got news for you, already happening. Let's work on that problem and not on this little red herring, yellow light thing here. There was a religious professor in Grove City College, very conservative college. I went there. I got props for that. But he somehow slipped in. He was like, I think he might have been a sleeper agent for the liberals. I'm not sure. And that any day he was going to be activated. But he was there and he was talking about slippery slope. And he says, "Yeah, that's why I'm against curbside trash pickup. I'm totally against that. Because once you allow them to take stuff off your property at the curb, Next, they're going to be coming up to the yard and taking the bicycles and throwing them away. Next, they'll be up to the porch and taking the patio furniture and throwing away. Next, they'll be coming in your house and reeling out the appliances and putting them in the trash. You don't want the government stealing your appliances, do you? Well, then you're against curbside trash pickup. He's no longer there, you know, that kind of stuff. Yellow light. You know, some of them are good. Red lights, yellow lights, some of them are good. I'm okay with some things. You know, stop the violence. Yeah, big red light on that. Stop fighting. Stop hurting people. Stop discrimination. Stop a lot of things. I got a big red light on those babies. And you know, yellow lights are good too. My wife, who's helped me with this sermon, because I'm starting a new thing after 35 years of marriage, I'm listening to her. It's a new thing. I figured out that moving here to Nevada, 2,400 miles away from church in my life, it was kind of like an intervention, you know, like where they all get around and goes, we're all concerned about you. We're going to have to make a change. So here I am. Anywho, she was listening and goes, you know, she's a physical therapist. And most of her stuff, she's going to correct me later, but most of her stuff is get people up and walking. I mean, that's a huge, huge change in your quality of life if you can get out of bed and go places you need to go, even in the house. And she says, you know, fear of falling, that's very handy. That's really great. You really need that to learn how to walk and how to move around. You need the fear of falling. That's a big yellow light. Ooh, watch out. That's not safe. Grab onto a bar. Use your walker. Do whatever you need to do to not fall. Big yellow lights. I'm good with yellow lights. Some of the yellow lights. Why do we have green lights? You know, I was worried about this. This was bothering me. And again, Betty Lynn gave me the answer. He goes, well, if you didn't have the green light, you wouldn't know if the traffic light was broken or not. Well, you know what you do at a broken traffic light? Let's see how, what do you do if the traffic light's broken, like a power outage? Four-way stop, thank you. No, it's not go as fast as you can and beat the other people, as some people think. It's a four-way stop. So if we didn't have the green lights, everything would be a four-way stop because you wouldn't know, is that working or not? Is the other people seeing red or not? I don't know. But a green light says, I got you. It's okay. I'm on the job. I got you. I got them red. Go right on in there. Yeah, you're good. You're encouraging. If there's anything worthy of praise, if there's anything good, think about these things. Big green light. It is not necessary. You should go on your own. But boy, does it help to go. If you don't see a green light, you just might stop because you don't know if it's okay to go or not. You might think that traffic light is broken. And you know, the same is about Christianity. If all the people here are red lights and yellow lights about stop, don't do this, don't do that, oh, this is a sin, oh, this is awful, oh, this is going to hell, oh, the culture is terrible, or yellow lights, oh, we better not, we got to watch out, these people are coming, these are going to happen, things are going terrible, oh, we got to watch out, we got to protect ourselves, we got to preserve ourselves, yellow, they're going to think Christianity's broken. Because they never see a green light from us. And we do green lights, we just don't tell anybody. We're full of green lights. Baptism, big green light. Weddings, marriages, big green light. Go and covenant. And then funerals, even funerals, green lights. It's not that bad, it's not over, it's not there. The message of funerals should be a big green light, that death is not a stop. And even the littler ones, not just hatch, match, and dispatch, which is we're good at, But also all the little ones, the membership and confirmation class where we say, yes, we believe in you. We accept your promises, commissioning to missionary work and mission trips, ordination and installation of officers. Yes, go and lead. Do that thing. Choir recruitment. Yeah, you can come up and sing. We're all for you. Yeah. Big green light. You're supposed to sing. You're supposed to lead. Go. Do it. Encouragement. We do that, but we don't tell on anybody. We think the most important things are the red and the yellow lights, the cautions and the don'ts and the stops. Where I will tell you, and as our scripture says in Philippians, the most important things are saying, I am with you. I go with you the darkest valley. The most enemies, I have a table for you. I got a place for you. Don't worry, green light, I got you. Come on. You know, we do not call Jesus Christ. We do not say that Jesus is God, stop us. We do not say that Jesus Christ is God, warn us. Yellow light. What do we say? We say Emmanuel, God with us. God, go with us. Green light. That is our identity. We're here so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. We're here so that you can be forgiven to forgive. We're here that you can go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. I got you. Big green light. Two more stories and maybe a video. So we're talking. Probably a video. So, back to the firefighters. You never see anybody more serious about something than a dedicated volunteer. I mean, an employee can be dedicated, but a volunteer has to be really dedicated because they're volunteering, so they better have a good reason to be there. And you have to take a test in Ohio to be a volunteer firefighter. I accidentally became a volunteer firefighter and had to take the test. Look at this, you know. They said, okay, Rev, come on. We got to take this test. It's called the Firefighter Agility Test. What they want to know is that you're not going to screw them up on a fire. That's what they want to know. And it's Ohio has a whole thing that you got to do. And you got to climb up a ladder and climb down without freaking out. You got to get blindfolded and crawl around in a maze without freaking out. You got to be able to pick up this huge big dummy and carry him out over your shoulder without freaking out or falling down and having been rescued yourself. These are things they want to know before they go into a fire with you. And so John Love, one of my great mentors, is reading off the official Ohio regulations for these tests. Very serious guy. He's a funeral director. They get to kind of be serious. He's reading them all out. And at the very end, he says, and in all these tests, we are not allowed to physically assist you, but we are allowed to cheer. What? He said that in a serious funeral director, firefighter captain voting. And that's what they did. They weren't allowed to help me, but they were allowed to cheer. Come on, Christy, you can do it. You can get up there. Go, you got this, you got this. They were there all the way through. Got me through it. We aren't allowed to help you, but we're allowed to cheer. Another guy, big mentor in my life, Jerry Gordon. Great, great Christian. Great. Wonderful guy. Him and I split up Salvation Army for the county, you know, doing that together. Great guy. Helped each other out. He was the one that was the mentor for my daughter in confirmation. Helped her and led her through that. Real special bond. Great guy. And he wanted to do Relay for Life. Small church. And when they do Relay for Life in small towns and Roy, it is a serious business. None of this 12-hour jazz. It was all weekend, buddy. And everybody's going to be on, every team is going to have someone on that track all night long, buddy. Am I going to do it right? So I thought, yeah, it was a little ambitious, you know. So I said, hey, Jerry, I'm with you. Jerry, put me down for an hour, your worst hour. Whatever you can't get, put me down. I'll be there for you, buddy. He goes, really? Because again, you know. And I said, yeah, really. I want to do this. You're going to have trouble. I know you're going to have trouble with this. Whatever it is, I'll be there. I'll do an hour. I can do an hour. All right. You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. I got like 3 a.m., buddy. 3 to 4 a.m. walking around the high school track. 3 to 4 a.m. walking around doing this, you know. Oh, it is dark. And I'm tired. So I get out there. Jerry's there. Whoa, hey, oh, and all right. Hey, right, I'm ready to go. I go out there. Lap one. Out from behind the scoreboard, Jerry Gordon. Yay, Christy! Go, Christy! Yay, go, Christy! I go, wow, okay. I got to sleep. Keep walking out. Next lap, behind the food stand. Christy! Go! You ready to go? Way to run! Yeah, you're the man. Every lap, he's jumping out from somewhere different and yelling at me. One time, he came out of the porta potty. I am still kind of freaked out about that. You know, he could have slept. He could have taken the hour off. He could have done that. But he wasn't allowed to help, but he was allowed to cheer. I hope you do that. I hope there's people in your life like Jerry Gordon and John Love that even if they can't help you, and I hope they help you, but I hope they're always cheering you on, saying, way to go. Good job. You're doing well. You guys are doing well as a people and as a congregation, and I hope people keep telling you that all the time. I hope they don't say, oh, have you got a minister yet? Well, you know, I hope that people are saying, you are doing great with mission trips. You're doing great with worship. You're doing great with the bread and broth. You're doing great with all these programs that you keep going without a minister. You are going great with welcoming and worship and music and outreach. You're doing a seminar this the end of this month. And opening it up to the community. Something that even presbytery take notice of. And that's not easy to do, to get presbytery to take notice of you in a good way. I mean, you know, that's kind of, what? They're doing something good? Yeah, they're sending money down to you for that. So, good on you. And I want to encourage you, and I want you, when you think of things, when you think of how the church is going, when you think about how your life is going, I want you to think about this scripture. Is there anything worthy of praise? Anything worthy of good talk? Anything worthy of happiness? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, anything worthy of praise. All the good things. Think about these things. Be a green like Christians. Know that you can go and tell other people they can go so they don't think the church is broken. So they don't stop everywhere saying, well, I don't know, is it good or not? I don't know. It could be red or yellow. I don't know. But you say, green, yeah, you're welcome here. Yeah, you belong here. Yeah, we're glad you're here. Yeah, you're okay. Yes, we love you just the way you are. And yes, use any bathroom you want. Not a problem here. I want to leave you with a Presbyterian minister from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, did his ministry in Pittsburgh, Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers' neighbor, Fred Rogers. I was blessed to be in his home church as interim for 18 months. Got to meet the neighborhood. He, you know, all the characters in the neighborhood was from his family, his extended family. And Daniel the Tiger used to come up and talk to me about the sermon. And it was so neat because they kind of look like the puppets. It's so neat. Ace, and so many good stories about Fred Rogers, how wonderful and caring and loving he was. I want you to leave you with this and think about it. And that'll be the end of the sermon.